He teaches us doctrine, Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians. He teaches us about the future, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He teaches us about pastoral ministry in Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. He teaches us about the church in the prison epistles. When you think about his rejoicing and his calling us to rejoice in the book of Philippians, it's always striking to recognize that he's actually trying to help the Philippian believers stop worrying about him and move back to rejoicing in the Lord. And that the Lord used those times in prison for him to write to the church. Well, the church is made up of believers. A church can't be thankful. Believers in that church are thankful. Church can't be holy. Believers in that church are holy. You can take whatever application we might bring up in regards to the instruction that Paul gives the New Testament church, but whatever he gives to the churches, he's given to the Christians, given to us. His spirit is always a grateful spirit. He speaks of thanksgiving in this book of Colossians, and it is noteworthy when you move through the chapters and notice the thanks that he gives. I'm going to point these out to you tonight. It happens in all four chapters of Colossians. What I desire that would happen from this is that you and I would be thinking rightly about giving thanks. Maybe you've heard it said this way. I've sat at a table and somebody's asked somebody to return thanks. What are they asking them to do? They're asking them to do what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000. He thanked the Father. He thanked God. Returning thanks. But why returning thanks? Well, you're returning favor. You're returning favor because you have what? Received favor. Thanksgiving is the response to God's grace in our lives. And so when we listen to Paul, he begins speaking of thanks in verse 3 of the first chapter. After he introduces himself, which he typically does in this fashion, he says, verse 3 of chapter 1, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. It's appropriate to say thank you to one another. It's appropriate to express thanks to family members or believers or other people. But 38 of the 39 times that the verb giving thanks is used in the New Testament, it's aimed at God. 38 out of 39 times, the thanks is being returned to God. Now notice what he does. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always, continually praying for you. Oh, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. When Paul speaks to these people about his thanksgiving to God, he speaks in terms of where they are spiritually, what God is doing in their lives. And maybe just as a simple application and question for us tonight, Paul had such an interest in the spiritual lives of the people that he loved. Is that true of you? Is that true of me? Is it true that we have a genuine interest in the spiritual lives of other people? Because when you read Paul, and when you and I listen to Paul, and Paul's here doing something active in verse 3, I am giving thanks to God. Maybe that's an application for us. Maybe that's something we can take with us tonight and think about as this Thanksgiving week continues. He rejoices in their faith and their love and their hope, the truth of the gospel, and the grace of God in truth in verse number 6. Down in verse number 9, he turns again to thanksgiving. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will." Again, speaking about their spiritual condition, I want you to understand God's will. I want you to see things from God's point of view in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why, Paul? So that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, so that your life might reflect His grace, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And here we have it. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So again, in verse number 12, he talks about giving thanks, a heart of thanksgiving for the spiritual advancement of the people that he loves, and a prayer that they might walk worthy and enjoy the privilege of living a God-pleasing life. Do you think of your Christian life as a privilege? The privilege of living a God-pleasing life. You know, not the hardship of living, the privilege. Do you hear that from Paul? You just hear the joy coming out of him and the prayer and his desire for these people. I want you to know God. I want you to see things from His point of view. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to have spiritual understanding. I want you to walk worthy. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to increase in knowledge. I want you to be strengthened according to His glorious power. And all patience, be forbearing with one another, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father. Notice chapter 2. Chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse number 4. Twice in chapter 1, we've heard Paul speak about the action, the verb, the action of giving thanks. We're going to begin in verse number 4 of chapter 2. "And this I say, lest any man should be to beguile you." And I think this section is very noteworthy. Okay, I'm concerned about somebody persuading you with enticing words. Verse number 5 says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit." Again, his concern for them spiritually. "I'm joying and beholding your order." He's encouraging them. "I'm encouraged by what I hear about you and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with," and here is our word again, thanksgiving. And he goes right back to his theme, the thing he's worried about, the concerned about, somebody beguiling them, enticing them, persuading them of something that's not true. He goes on in verse 8 to say, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So in the midst of his concern for them spiritually, that they not be led astray, he weaves in there this idea of gratitude, this thanksgiving, this contentment in the Lord, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Would we not say, from just that brief reading of those few verses, that part of avoiding being misled is living in gratefulness to God? What happens when we are constantly speaking to the Lord about who He is and what He's done and who Christ is and what He has promised us and how He continues to meet every need in our lives? When we rejoice in who God is, do you not believe that is going to protect us against enticing words of men's wisdom? Gratitude is at the heart of avoiding being misled spiritually. false teachers spoiling us through philosophy. You know what? When you're satisfied in Christ, you don't have an appetite for enticing words of men's wisdom. You're satisfied in Him when you're actively rejoicing in Him. And I know that's where your heart is. I know that's where your thinking is this week. Lord, help me to understand what it means to live in gratitude before You. Well, one thing that's for sure is that it is fundamentally aimed toward God. It's fundamentally has to do with our spiritual condition. Are we thankful for a multitude of physical blessings? Absolutely. Physical provisions, freedom. We can do this tonight. Didn't worry about it, did we? It came together. We can open the Word of God. We can sing. We can give testimony. But also, we can stop and say, Lord, You have abundantly blessed me. You have abundantly blessed us. You know what Paul does when he talks about thanksgiving? He uses words like always, in all things, continually. He uses support words to help us understand what He means. Upon every remembrance of you, He says to some of the folks, I pray. I praise God. I give thanksgiving to God. Another place He said, we are bound to give thanks to the Lord. I think Paul helps us understand that giving thanks is not anything other than the most appropriate response to our good and gracious God. And bound, he doesn't mean I have to. He means how could I not? How could I not? How could I meditate upon God? How could I meditate upon Christ? How could I meditate upon what He's done, what He's doing, what He's promised, and not open my mouth in thanksgiving to Him? Chapter number 3, verse 12. Every chapter in the book of Colossians brings us to this emphasis of thanksgiving. Beginning in verse number 12 of chapter 3, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Notice how Paul speaks. Now, he doesn't speak and say things just to say things. He's not finding a bunch of filler words. I think he's building a case for the reason why we should be living lives of thanksgiving. I think he's reminding us of who we are and where we are and what God has for us. So in verse 12, listen as he speaks. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. He's made you holy. He loves you. Vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, where's the model for that? How far should that go? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, or the perfect bond. The perfect bond. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And here he says, and be ye. It's the only time it's used as an adjective right here. Be thankful. Let thankfulness mark your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Here's one another ministry in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And here, the action word again, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Twice in chapter number 3, he talks about a life that's ruled by peace. He's talking about a life pattern of Christ-likeness. He's talking about an orientation toward other people. This one another ministry where, you know, we are worshiping the Lord. We are allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in us so that we might worship Him in an appropriate way. But in doing that, we are ministering grace to other people. And then what we're doing not for ourselves, but we're doing what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an expression of thanks to God and the Father by Him. It goes on, talks about family relationships in the following paragraph, and no doubt gratitude has much to do with harmony in our homes. Chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4 and verse 2. And he's going to roll right into these personal greetings. And he's going to talk about different people in the last paragraph of his letter to the church at Colossae. But after he finishes up these relational issues, he says this in verse number 2. He says, continue in prayer. So keep on praying and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul said, would you pray for me? But pray for me spiritually. Pray for me ministerially as I am seeking to minister to others and give others the gospel. Ask the Lord to help me know how I ought to speak, what I need to do, how I should go about this. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. He turns and says, and you, in your evangelism, in your gospel witness, you walk in wisdom toward those that are without. Buy back the time, redeem the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You may know how you ought to answer every man. Paul continues to move in the arena of his own spiritual life and the spiritual lives of the people that he seeks to minister to. Paul's a guy that teaches us about joy, and Paul's a guy that teaches us about thanksgiving. And the indicators are that both joy and thanksgiving have much to do with establishing who we are and how we live our lives. It has much to do with how responsive we are to God and how much of a testimony we are for Christ and how much of a help we are to each other. We've all experienced, seen, maybe dealt with in our own lives somebody that's out of whack, out of joint spiritually. Miserable folks to be around. Why? Because they're not right with God. Because they're not walking with the Lord, they can't be a blessing to anybody else. Isn't it very interesting, though, that as image bearers, God has built something in us that desires to be a blessing to other people? And then Paul says, here you go. Here you go. So thanksgiving for us is not have to, but it's get to. We're bound to do this, but we're bound to do this because we know what God has done for us. So we've asked you to prepare, if you would desire to share for a minute or a minute and a half. Tonight, we want to give you that chance. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to listen to some testimonies. You just have to let Chad know that you have one, and then we'll sing a few more songs, all right? How about we bow together in prayer? Father, it's striking to us how much you have for us in your word. Some of these dear folk have been walking with you for many, many years, and they, like myself, would just be awestruck at the reality that we can turn to a familiar book tonight. We can hear afresh, maybe hear in a new way, maybe hear in a way in which your Holy Spirit can probe our hearts. Hear in a way also, Father, that refreshes us, that reminds us of how privileged we are, how blessed we are. How it's so right for the redeemed to say so. How it's so right for us to have a genuine interest in the spiritual condition. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. how it's right for us to sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs and to minister one another in this way. We desire that you would be on display tonight. That our great God would receive the honor and praise and glory. We desire that you'd move us all forward a bit this week in our understanding of what it means to live grateful lives and how important it is that we give you the praise that you are due. Thank you for this privilege of singing together tonight and ask that you'd impress upon our hearts the very words of the things that we sing and that we would sing them unto you and then encourage each other. Even in these songs, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.